Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wind Women of Wisdom, everyone. Apparently, we do not have a guest, so I'm going to talk. The guest hasn't shown up yet. I shouldn't say we don't have a guest, but the guest hasn't shown up yet. So what I'm going to talk about today is something near and dear to my heart, which I am doing a lot lately with my books, and that is having them produced on audio tape. Audio tape is going to be the next best thing to sliced bread, because no one has time to sit and read an actual book. Now, the reason why I do it is not just because no one has time to sit and read an actual book. I do it because I work with the disabled a lot. I teach young kids. And because I work with varied disabilities and young kids, kids don't have the attention span of a teen. So that's why I do it. So that's, and something I've quickly discovered is some do it on audio tape, which is a 50-50 split between me and the producer. Others do it as a flat fee. Now, if I had all the money in the world, which I don't, I would do it as a flat fee. I would probably pay 50 to 100 bucks and leave it up to audition. But at this point, I don't have all the money in the world to pay a flat fee. So at this point, I have to do it on loyalty share, which I found a person who's willing to do it. And so I will do it with her later today. And so that's really exciting that my book will be coming out in audio format in December. Yeah, in December. So what Loyalty Share actually does is make it exclusive to Audible.com, iTunes, and Audible.com, iTunes, and I believe ACX. ACX is actually the producer, but they told me one other thing, but I completely forgot. With the flat fee, you can post it wherever you want. So that's why I land up doing audio myself, because I tend to work with kids and I tend to work with adults who may not have time to read a book. I mean, I've been listening to the Creative Pen podcast every morning when I eat breakfast. So for those of us who do not have time to sit and read a book, and for those of us who are auditory learners, we just land up reading the books and having it done for us. But ACX is a really unique thing, and I think ACX is awesome, completely. And so I would think that ACX would be good for, and anyone can get on there. You can even narrate your own audiobooks, which I thought about doing myself for several months, but then when I realized that one of the podcast that I listened to, Joanna Penn, said, oh, there's no way that I'm doing my own audiobooks, let alone other people's audiobooks. And because doing audiobooks is exhausting for anyone, especially with someone with a disability, and doing audio is exhausting for anyone. And so I would think that it would be easier just to hire someone else who's professional about it. And so that's what I do. And now the next go round with my next book, which I'm finishing up today, actually, I will either do a royalty share or pay $50 to $100 to do it and leave it open to auditions. Most people will do royalty share. Some will not. And I think if they don't do royalty share, they should take their name out of the poll for royalty share. That's just my opinion. Now, basically what you have to do is upload the manuscripts and upload the cover art, and which I'll do later today. And so that should be interesting to do that and see how this person does. And if I like this person's narration, I'm going to use her primarily for my books. And let's hope that she does well enough. And she's based out of L.A., and I've heard her speak, so, and she's the one that wanted to do it on royalty share. Before you do it as royalty share, you can send a message to the producer and say, do you want to work with me? Because it's a legally binding thing, and royalty share is a lot easier for people to deal with, but the more professional you are, the more likely you get a flat fee, which I know friends that are in the voice of a business. They can easily do it for me, but because ACX is so picky, because Audible is so picky, they have to do it through a sound quality check, and they it takes 10 to 14 days to do it. I mean, I just finished up my last flat the audio book just last week, and then I decided not to use the producer because the producer was getting picky. And so, but it's still sitting in audio queue check, apparently. I mean, it takes 10 to 14 days to do it. So even if I did it myself, it would still take 10 to 14 days to do it. And so I would rather just give someone the manuscript and do it myself. And then, but with this one, I'm going to give someone the manuscript and do it myself. But I'm going to get the cover art on all three of them, and then with the next one, I'm going to have it edited once, and then get the cover all together before I even produce it, because ACX, even though ACX is wonderful, ACX is picky too. So because it's a, you give the law manuscripts to the exact editor how it was written. So what I'm learning is that if they screw up, it's your fault. But I am learning that, I am heavily learning that through help that I just am better off editing these things once and be done with it, and then later on they can add the cover on. But lately I want to add the cover on as well. So I think what I'm going to do is just give this person the manuscript. And I've had 3 people do my, all 3 of my books. And then I want with this person to do the next book, the next book, the next book, just to have consistency in the series. But what I found was I win, and I looked at the person's ACX profile today. I caught Cammy Winston on Loyalty Share at the time I was doing I Come a Win, which is available on audio, on Amazon, on Kindle, on everything else. And so it's interesting to see the different aspects of publishing a book. But we all think that ACX is best since sliced bread. It just takes a little time, like all good things. So what I'm going to do is do it once. I've learned that you do it once and you do it well enough so you do it once so you don't have to go back in and do it. And so, but I've switched editors and done all that stuff, but the problem is my editor had a full-time job to do freelance stuff on the side, and when I handed her the manuscript in July for re-editing, I thought she was going to get it back quicker than she did. But she landed up saying to me, it won't be done until January or December. December or January. So I'm like, give it back to me. So now what I'm going to do is use the manuscripts that I have and it's already been edited. And so, and then what I'm going to do is just with the next book, which will be done today, I will turn it to an editor and have it only edited once. And so basically what's going to happen is that's how ACX works, and that's what ACX does. ACX is an entity of Amazon. While I'm talking to you guys, I'm actually going to upload the manuscripts right now so that we can get started. And one other thing is you can decide when the first 15 minutes are due or when the first 15 minutes of doing when the completed book is due. Man, this woman is quick. As I said, she wants her manuscripts. Okay, well, I will give it to her. And so you can, ACX is actually a wonderful thing. ACX is actually a wonderful thing, and what I've found is that people are willing to do what I ask them to, and even if it's on loyalty share, it's just on it's just on loyalty share, and we'll see what lands up. We'll see what lands up happening. And so we'll see what lands up happening. And so we'll see how all this works out. And what lands up happening is just with any books, you have to publish books on top of books on top of books on top of books. So basically what's going to happen with me now is once I finish this other YA novel, I'm going to turn it over to an editor or turn it over to someone to look at. And then I am going to focus on kids' books because I've been dying to do that, and kids' books are kids' books. So basically what lands up happening is I will be focusing on the kids' books, and then I will be focusing on what I want to do and focus on the YA novels. I am, with help, going to be a New York Times bestselling author in the next 2 years. So that's perfectly fine. And so it's going to be a very interesting journey once I decide what to do. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a huge update, and we'll see what happens with everything. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to give you a huge update, maybe with my special guest on October 15th. I have a very special guest coming on that maybe I can give you the huge update with her as we talk about her books and as we talk about marketing tips. And that's all I'll say about that, because it's a very exciting interview. And so it's a great time to do it, and I love the power of technology, and it's a wonderful time to do it. And here she is. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Did I get the times mixed up?
Yes, you did. I've been rambling away since 4 o'clock. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. That's okay. Well, I've been rambling away about my own stuff. Anyway, you guys, I would like to welcome Dr. Franza Booker-Drew. And she has a fascinating background. Her background is in nonprofits. And correct me if I'm pronouncing your first name wrong, completely wrong. I know I just screwed up on that one. How do you pronounce it?
It's Francois.
Okay. Francois. Okay. Now I got it right. See? And so talk to us about your background in leadership and nonprofits. I'm finding that fascinating, Francois, as to your background in leadership and your background in nonprofits, and why did you mix the two together?
That's an awesome question that I haven't really thought about. How did I mix the two? I started off in nonprofit management really as a college student. I was really interested in helping people, and so there were opportunities on campus at the University of Texas at Arlington that occurred that allowed me to get involved in service and learning how to program for students on campus and people in the community. And I left there and went to work while still a student at Girl Scouts. And I think over the years I just got this desire of trying to find ways that I could make a difference, and ended up finding not just volunteer opportunities but jobs. So by the time I graduated from college, I was interviewed for a position that I had been volunteering with. I would spend Saturdays with high school students just teaching them about diversity and teaching them about getting ready for college, and I had no idea that all of this volunteering would result in a job. And so I ended up with a full-time position working for Texas A&M University. And it was an opportunity for me to work with low-income students who were very bright and gifted but didn't know what they needed to do to get ready for college. And so I started off as an assistant director and just kind of moved up into different positions and leadership roles within nonprofit management. And so I've been doing this now for, oh, my goodness, close to 30 years. It's hard to even imagine it's been that long. But it's just been something that I have enjoyed. I right now have an amazing team of people that I work with, so I enjoy not just the nonprofit piece, but being able to sow into others and giving them guidance and letting their gifts shine so that they can, you know, do great work.
So you are educated, what I can tell. You educate people out the union. You started this in college. And had you ever thought of writing a book about this, mixing the two together, nonprofit and leadership?
You know, I have not thought about doing that. My first book actually was looking at when I was working on my PhD. It was really a book for bringing women together, but starting with knowing themselves, because I found that a lot of women would get together and they wanted to network, but they really didn't know their own stories. And so they would attract people that they weren't comfortable with, and that was because they didn't know their own stories. They were really bringing in more of the unconscious that they weren't aware of. And so I wrote the book as a workbook for women to begin to understand their own stories so that they could better connect to people in their lives. So I've never thought about the nonprofit and leadership book, but you're giving me some ideas right now that I'm jotting down.
Oh, my God. I've been rambling on before you got on. I am a self-published author myself, and I've been rambling on for the last 20 minutes about producing your book on audio tape. So I had to kill time waiting for you. So I decided to, because I'm in that process myself of producing books on audio tape. I say books because they're more than one. And I, before you got on, I thought, well, if she's doing leadership, she might as well focus on leadership and nonprofits in a book. And so you haven't done a book on that subject. Have you done another book?
Yes, so I've just recently finished the second book, which is a devotional for women. A lot of my work, as I was, you know, again working on my PhD, focused on bringing diverse women together, and I started realizing the value of the story. And so, as I mentioned in the first book, it really was an opportunity for women to, you know their stories, and I would have stories about my own life that they could then use as a way to reflect on their own experiences. Well, the second book is called Ready for a Revolution, 30 Days to Jolt Your Life. And the goal of that book is it's a faith book. I'm a Christian, and so it's not one of those books that's really preachy. It's a book to make women look at their faith as a lens for getting to know their own story. So they're devotionals that help women think about how do you set goals. It's a book that helps women think about their own emotional intelligence and how do they deal with challenges that they face in their lives. And then, you know, after you really take a look at you and where you want to go and goals that you have in your life, the book really is about then how do you begin to extend that to community? How do you have a heart for people that are in poverty? How do you understand what does it mean to be in unity with people that are very different than yourself? And so that really is the premise of that book, is to find a way of allowing women to explore their stories at a deeper level, using their faith lens to help them pay attention to how those connect in the way they live in the world.
And is that book self-published or traditionally published?
Both of those are self-published.
Oh, my God. Good for you. I can barely... Well, I have three books out myself, so I shouldn't be complaining. But I look at these... I look at the self-publishing and think, oh, my God, what am I getting myself into now? So, geez, good for you. And what inspired you to do the devotional book?
You know, I took a group of women on a silence retreat, and I did one first. I wanted to go and be in total solitude, you know, to have the chance to deal with thoughts and experiences I had been dealing with, and spent 48 hours at a monastery in complete silence, and it was just the most amazing experience for me. And I decided to take a group of women through that same experience, not 48 hours, but 24, because I knew it was going to be hard for a lot of people. But I had guided, you know, activities for these women, and it was just an amazing opportunity to bring all these women together who didn't know each other, and they had such a great experience where they would have time to be in silence, but they would also have time to write and be a part of these activities I created. And so at the end of the retreat, I would send them every week a group of activities that I wanted them to work on so they could still have that momentum and the high that they experienced from the retreat. And so for 4 weeks, I was sending them these devotionals. And at the end of 4 weeks, I looked up and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is really a book, you know, and I added a few more pieces to it. And so it became a book. I even though I do self-publishing, there's a gentleman that I work with who has a publishing company. And so I work with him where he does the editing and the book design and really helps me with getting it distributed in channels. But it's very similar to self-publishing where, you know, traditional publishers take so much of your profits, and this isn't the same way. And so I went with him again and just had a lovely experience in working with him once again to publish this book. And so it just came out, so it's very early. I mean, it just came out like 3 days ago. So still in the process
my
of trying
God.
To do some
production. Well, good for you. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
And so did you, correct me if I'm wrong, I heard the word silent retreat. You said
mm-hmm.
silent. And so that leads me to my next question. How did the women who never met one another, including you, take that? They probably thought you were nuts. They probably thought you were nuts at this point.
You know, I think what got the women interested in doing the silence retreat, I had raved on and on about my experience. I read a book several years ago about nuns, and I was intrigued with this idea of how nuns could go into complete solitude and just have time for prayer and reflection. And I just thought, oh, my goodness, it's amazing. And he talked about all these different convents that allowed people to come in and have opportunities to do just that. So, you know, fast 4 years later, I actually reached out to a monastery here in the Dallas area and asked if I could stay. And I just wanted to be able to have the experience of quiet. I think in our world we are so connected to technology. And we're always on. I mean, even when we're asleep, our phones are beeping and buzzing, and, you know, they're the lights that come from the phone and the iPads. And so you're always on, and I don't think people have the opportunity to take the time to disconnect. Create a space where people could disconnect, but do that in community. Because the other thing I've discovered is people really don't have community anymore. I think we have a false sense of that, you know, online and believing that Facebook is really a place.
I agree.
But it's not. It's people don't have to be authentic. And so I wanted to create a space where women could disconnect and at the same time have authentic connections with each other. And that's really, for me, one of my life purposes, I believe, is creating opportunities and spaces for people to do just that. I think we are a society that is so engaged that we're not engaging well. And it was really a successful experience. I'm actually planning on doing another one in the upcoming year in January. And I like to take people right after the first of the year, you know, when people are thinking about their New Year's resolutions. And I like being able to get them to think about, okay, so what does this year look like and how do you quiet your mind and center yourself and really begin to focus on your life, where you've been, where you currently are, and where you want to go, and how do you use prayer and reflection as a way to do that?
Well, my goodness, that sounds fascinating to me, at least.
Me too. I enjoy it.
Other people think listening to this podcast, Wins Women of Wisdom, probably think Francois and Wynn are nuts because they're talking about silence and it's hard to come by.
Yeah.
It's hard to come by. Silence is definitely hard to come by and, oh God. And so what was your favorite part of writing the devotional?
I think it was the reflection piece. Another complaint I guess I have about our society is we don't create enough space for people to reflect. I think we're so busy doing things that we don't take the time to look over our lives and, you know, think. And so for me, the enjoyment was using this as an opportunity to reflect on my own experiences. I think it's a disservice to tell people you should do certain things and you're not doing that yourself. And so, you know, while I'm asking women to think about, you know, their emotional issues or think about, you know, one of the chapters or devotionals is about having a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset, you know, and reflecting on my own life, when have I had those times when my mindset has been fixed where I didn't want to change and I stayed stuck in something that wasn't productive for me? And when have I had opportunities to have a growth mindset and really begin to start looking at possibilities. And so for me, it was just the opportunity to look at my own experiences while I'm sharing my life story and sharing tidbits of who I am in the book. I think that was probably the fun for me and the excitement. And, you know, even in the process of reflection, you learn. So I think in writing the book, as much as I hope that women will learn about themselves, I know for me, I got a chance to learn a little bit more about who I am.
Oh, my God. So have you thought about making this devotional book into a series?
I haven't. You
oh,
are
no.
filled with ideas. What? You're amazing. You're giving me all kinds of ideas. No, I haven't thought about that. I mean, that's a really good idea.
Would that be too complicated? I know for me, personally, writing a teen novel series is the most difficult thing in the world, even though it's enjoyable. It's the most difficult thing in the world.
Yes, I can see where it could be that way. I think, you know, where this could be a series is continuing the conversation of allowing women to think about who they are, but using it from a topic standpoint. I think in the book,
yes.
What I did this time was every week took people to another level. So the first week may have been, you know, thinking about your goals and where you want to go. And, you know, another week focused on, you know, your emotional mindset and the way you think about things in the world. So I think it was grouped that way. But I think, to your point, it could really be a series to help women dig deeper around issues of relationships and issues about, you know, future and how they connect to people. So I think that there's some real opportunities. I know for me, with the first book and this one, I love creating workbooks. So whatever I do in a series will more than likely be a workbook, just because I love to make people think. I think there's so much out there that tells people what to do, and it doesn't give people an opportunity to really reflect and think about how what they're reading applies to their own life, or what are the ahas they take away from it. So the idea of a series is intriguing to me, and to continue this quest of getting women to think for themselves and think about themselves, I think could be very interesting. So thank you. I will make sure that you get credit.
oh, get credit
with ideas.
Someone else's book. No, you don't have to give me credit.
Yes, I do.
Give credit where credit is due. So now, what is your, other than writing and other than working with the youth to empower them, what is your favorite activity?
Oh, wow, that's hard. It's so many things I enjoy doing. I love being around people, and so much of my work allows me to do that. I mentioned this before, I love stories. So I enjoy being around people, listening to their stories. It's just something to listen to people and, you know, recognize that we have more in common than we do different. And I think we, you know, not to negate differences, I think those are important and you can learn so much in that, but I think you can also learn a lot about commonalities that most people are struggling and want to feel valued. They want to feel like they matter. They want to feel like they're heard. And so I enjoy being able to find connections with people and where there's similarities. I love watching Modern Family. That is one of my favorite shows because I love to laugh. And so for me, laughter is something that I enjoy a lot. It's something about being able to find happiness. And so looking at, you know, shows like that, and I'm not much of a television person, so that's what my weakness is on Hulu, is to watch Modern Family and find shows that make me crack up. I just really enjoy laughing. And then I love spending time with my family, my daughter. I have a 15-year-old daughter who is simply amazing. I know most parents say that, but this kid really is. And so I enjoy watching her grow and spend time with her and pouring into her. It's really wild because as much as I teach her, I think she teaches me more, and I learn so much from her.
I love that. I love that. And has she taken after her mom about buying books or doing in the independent singing or writing books, or has she taken after her mom about doing creative side? Oh, no way.
She's got pieces of all of that. It's interesting you say that because I didn't look at it in that way. She wants to be a photojournalist. And so she loves taking pictures. I don't take pictures well, but she loves to write. She is an amazing writer. And so the idea that she wants to combine the two is fascinating to me. She's very creative, and yet she's also very opinionated. And so there's an issue at her school where they wanted the girls to not wear leggings because it was a distraction to the boys. And my daughter went nuts. She thought, how is it that we need to change the way we dress? She said, I don't wear leggings. But she said, Mom, it's unfair that we have to change who we are and stop being educated and go home to change when it's more about what makes boys uncomfortable. That's not fair. And so I have a child who is very vocal and opinionated and believes in fairness no matter what. And so it's been interesting to watch her come into her own and really form opinions, and she stands up for what she believes in. So she's kind of got the activist, social justice, creative thing going on that's really neat to watch.
Mm. Well, that is completely interesting that she has a creative talent just like you. And how
it is.
How can people get in contact with you?
Well, they can always send me an email. I read emails constantly. That's one of the things why I need to sometimes disconnect. But I can be reached at soulstice@gmail.com. So that's one way. And then my website is Françoise Rules. So it's F as in Frank, R-O-S as in Sam, W-A, S Rules, RULES.com. And so that website also has a way to connect to me and see some of the things that I've been involved in and doing. But you can find me online. I typically am really open to responding and corresponding with people because, again, I love the story. And so I'm out there and open and ready to engage.
Well, it sounds like I'm so sorry we didn't get nearly where I wanted to, but due to time constraints, we kind of had to shorten this interview, but I hope to have you back on with the next book.
I would love it. I appreciate the opportunity for you allowing me to be on the show. I admire who you are and what you've done and continue to do. And so thank you for giving me the space to be with you this afternoon.
Thank you. And I appreciate all you guys have given me for Women of Wisdom. And we're going to make this huge. We're going to make Wins Women of Wisdom huge. And as I said, my book is slowly but surely coming out on audio tape. And it's coming out slowly but surely. It should be on audio tape in December. So I would recommend to you guys to pick it up. Again, the one I'm talking about is Review for My Makeup Palette. And then I'm also writing another YA, two other YA novels, one during National Novel Writing Month, and then one with a coming up today. So that should be interesting. And I appreciate you supporting Women of Wisdom. Thanks to you guys.